Everything okay? Okay, so let's start. My name is Grindholt. I've traveled a long way from the internet to be here to tell you something about flow graphs, which is one of my favorite UI components throughout there. And my talk is split into four sections. First, I will tell you where you meet flow graphs everywhere outside the technological world, outside of computers. And then I'm going to analyze an existing flow graph implementation, give you a short overview what a flow graph is capable of and how we can implement them. Afterwards, we'll have a look into libgtk flow, which is a library for GTK to use flow graphs in GTK-based applications. And at the finishing, we will discuss what we can do with them, especially in GNOME, because there are some marvelous outlooks. So let's start. First of all, flow graphs, even if you've never heard of them, are pretty familiar to almost anyone. They feel natural to the user. Why? Because I bet any one of you has already seen one. Anyone who's ever had a fact book in their hands has seen a flow graph. For example, this is a graphic of electron transport chain. It comes from the biochemical sectors and describes how electrons are transported by doing different peptide reactions or something. So I have a flow from input to output, basically. Or another one. This is a sewing plant, the schematic plan of a sewing plant. At the left, you can see there is input. Then the input is processed by different components of the system. And there are different outputs. Like here, they produce energy from the waste, or and they produce clean water, and they produce fertility agents from this. Or there's another one. This is from a game called Big Pharma. Here we see a production chain, which is also a flow graph. You have inputs from the left. There are coming some crystals in, then they are processed, and they walk through different machines, and each machine changes the type of what the data is, and then it gets packaged, and then it flows out again. So we have different stages that. Transform, mix, split up what we give them, and so we can model processes. And flow graphs have already arrived in our midst. For example, this is an application based on GTK, which is called GNU Radio. Are there any radio enthusiasts in here? Oh, a little. GNU Radio is an application which is meant to take a signal from an antenna, run it through different processing units, for example, noise reduction components or decoders, so that we have at the input a simple two-dimensional signal. One dimension is time, one dimension is the amplitude, and we generate modularly, we generate useful data, or what is useful for us from it. And we allow the user to actually decide how the components are managed. And this is basically what a flow graph in software is. So we have another example, this time really from a GNOME project. This is Conduit. Conduit is an application that is meant to synchronize data from different sources to different targets. For example, if I have two folders and I want to have them synchronized, I tell Conduit to do so. And this is the first graph. And in the second graph, he's, for example, taking data from FSpot, the photo manager, and publishing the FSpot photos to both Picasa and Facebook at the same time. And for this, he allows the user to do this with a flow graph. Another nice application that I found is from the CAD sector, for computer-aided design. This is a program by a guy called Matt Keeter. It's called Antimony, and he uses flow graphs to actually model 3D models, which I find a pretty interesting concept. He uses, for example, a cube node to generate a cube with a specific length, width, and depth. And then he creates a circle, which has a specific radius, a specific height, and runs it through a difference node. So take the cube, subtract the volume of the circle of the cylinder, and then you get this output. So you can model really really complex structures by only using nodes from a flow graph. I think now it's a little bit clearer what a flow graph is, even if you haven't ever encountered them in software. So we'll go on and analyze an existing implementation, which is the most complete implementation, I think, that there is to be found in the world of free software. And it comes from a tool called Blender. Blender is a 3D modeling tool. Most of you should be familiar with it, or at least heard of it, maybe, because it's been around a very, very long time in the world of free software. And this is Blender's node editor. Blender uses nodes to do everything that has to do with post-processing. For everyone who doesn't know, in Blender, you put in 3D objects and model them how you want to look them, and then you you go into a process called rendering, where there is the 3D data actually compiled into a 2D image that we can publish. So I model my animation, and then I have a sequence of images, which is my animation, and from that I can create a video file or whatever. Post-processing is a step that happens after rendering. After rendering, I'm able to get at the left side the input, the raw image that they get from the rendering process, and I'm able to apply multiple filters. That filters like in GIMP, you can add a blur, or you can add, you can do motion blur. You can change the colors or whatever you like. You can split the image into multiple components. You can split the color components from each other and then mix them together to achieve different effects. And the first thing we see is the central component is the node, something like this. And nodes have inputs and outputs. Data goes into a node, gets transformed somehow, and then generates output. The second thing we see is there are nodes that only have outputs. They are generating data. And there are nodes that only have inputs. They are consuming data. They are our targets. And then we can see another interesting feature. These inputs and outputs have different types. They have different colors. That means I can only interconnect the docs or these inputs and outputs if they have the same type. So there's a type system in there. The third thing we see is, there are connections. It's maybe the most obvious one, but we can let the user decide which input to connect with which output. Then another thing we see is we have something like here. We have factors that apply directly on the input. We can manipulate the input and output. So then I have a second screenshot, which shows us what we cannot do. And this is, for example, here. When we try to connect the output of one node to the input of another, and then again the output of that node to the original node, we get a red line that tells us, nope, you can't do that. This is one restriction. But of course, it gets clear. If this one triggers, there is no real input, and there is nothing where this could go. So we always want to model a process from output to from input to output. Okay, let's do a little conclusion. Nodes can create, transform, or consume data. Nodes receive and send data via inputs and outputs. Inputs and outputs may be chained via connectors. Inputs and outputs may have different incompatible types. The flow graph is a directed acyclic graph. It has no circular connections. And another one is we have a special null value. Because what happens if a node like this is must have inputs? Because otherwise, if it didn't have those inputs, it can't create output that makes actually sense. So there are possible solutions to this is either defining a default value for each input that that is taken when there is no no output node connected to the input, or we can have a special null value that invalidates an input, so we can adjust the behavior to that. Now let's go on. We have something to discuss, and this is libgtk flow. Libgtk flow is my attempt to get flow graphs standardized into GNOME, into the GNOME world or into the GTK world. What we've seen, there are many implementations. Or why am I going to do this? There are many implementations that are already there, but they are all kind of specialized for the application they're written for. There is no general solution. Like if you code an coding app in GTK, you're probably going to use libgtk source view, and there's no default component. There is also nothing that reacts to GTK specific stuff like themes. When you have those implementations, they are always look the same. Maybe they have their own themes, but they don't react to GTK themes. And I think this is not really cool. So I went and started to implement a library that respects those environmental settings from every GTK user and tries to act upon it. So I've compiled a quick fact sheet, answer the six W's. What it is, it's a library that every GTK application developer can use or should be able to use. When the first commit was in May of 2015, there was some preliminary planning that I did, but this is the first commit, then it started. Where you can find the project at github.com/grintol/libgtkflow, but there will be a QR code at the end, so you don't have to remember this now. Who? It was in the beginning, it was just me. Then, when the library grew to be somewhat presentable, I posted it to the Vala mailing list and the GTK mailing list, and some people found this pretty cool. And there was one is a special person. It is Isildan or Daniel Espinosa. He contributed like the build system. He moved the build system from CMake to AutoMake and helped me with very cool stuff. He helped me plan the API. My API was kind of sucky, and he designed a better one. And we discussed a lot, and we had a lot of fun developing this. Why? Because we love flow graphs. How? With the programming language Vala. Thanks to Jörg Billiter here for designing a really cool programming language for the GNOME project. GTK, of course, and a pinch of G-Object introspection, which I'll come back later to. So, after Isildan did his comments, we decided that libgtk flow should actually be two libraries. There's Gflow. Gflow models is the abstract model of the data flow. And there's GTK flow. GTK flow manages all the graphic stuff, displaying the flow graph to the user. So you feed GTK flow with objects that are from Gflow. Let's have a little look at the stack. If you watch only the right side, this is your typical GTK application. You have your application code. The application code talks to GTK, and GTK calls talks to GDK, and GDK talks to the backend, whatever you have in your system, X, Wayland, whatever. With libgtk GTK flow, your application talks to GTK flow in order to create nodes, docs, connections, and everything, and then you feed those objects into GTKflow. GTKflow will talk with the drawing methods of GTK, thus ensuring that themes and so on are respected and correctly drawn, and then the cycle will go on. So there are actually two purposes in such a flow graph library. We have the first purpose, which is supplying topological information. So we can ask the flow graph who is connected with whom, and to traverse the graph to get information from the user input. And the second one is the actual transformation of data, the actual flow of data through the graph and how the data is manipulated throughout the graph. So I'll outline the most important classes and interfaces that the library will give you if you start programming with it. The first and most important class, of course, is the node. And the node will contain docs. Doc is the head word for input and output. So we use terminology from GStreamer to keep it a bit familiar. Our outputs are called source and our inputs are called sync. And also the method names should overlap. They're called link and unlink to link sources and syncs to each other to get a little bit familiarity in here for people who are already using other components of the GNOME stack. Then there is an error. Then there is GTKflow. GTKflow exports the node view. Node view is a GTK widget which you can place in your application, like a button or like the tree views, and you feed the node view with the objects from GFlow, and then it will render them accordingly. It also exports two interfaces, which are now abstract classes, but they are meant to be interfaces in the future. The node render and the doc renderer, which allows you to do stuff like this. These in the middle are rendered by the default node renderer supplied by GTKflow. And those at the sides are custom implementations of a node renderer, which is application specific. This application, for example, has these connectors from the Raspberry Pi. And no normal node will draw something like this. So with the node renderer and the doc renderer, you can actually implement it to look what you want it to look like. So it's pretty flexible here. So we'll have a little look at the code. This is a small example, which you will also find on GitHub, finished and implemented. This is a program that basically takes, these are nodes which basically generate a numeric value as output, then do an addition operation on them and put it out in an output node. It's as easy as it can get. It's basically the Hello World example for libgtkflow. So I'll walk you through as fast as I can. This is the first thing you have to do, this add node. We will only be inside this this node here. So the first thing is we write an add node class definition. Then we'll initialize it with the syncs and sources that we need. This one is a bit special because in the start, it only has a source, and with these add and remove buttons, I can dynamically remove and add syncs on runtime, which is pretty cool and makes it also very flexible. So we define a source for our node, and we give it a name in those three lines here. And then we say self add source. This means, hey, node, you now have a new source, and it is this object. Then we'll create those buttons. I think this is pretty straightforward. We have an add button and a remove button connected, hook it up to the signals, and then we're basically already done. These are the two methods that act upon the pressing of add and remove. So they basically only generate on every click, you click add, it generates a simple sync, sets it, gives it a name, adds it to the node, and connects it to a signal, which is pretty important, is changed. Every time the value that is being submitted into a sync, this signal will trigger, and we can act upon this signal to generate a new output for the source. So then we have the method which this change signal is linked to. It's linked to do calculations. And do calculations basically iterates over all the source, all the syncs that we created for this node, adds up the values, and checks if there are valid values, because when we have a non-defined value, we cannot create a useful result. And if everything fits, it writes the result of the calculations into the result here. Result is our output doc that we made. So what's still missing? We have, of course, not everything that we want to have in this library. For example, as there was this update to GTK 3.20, the foreign drawing methods compatibility kind of broke. We used them to do the theme stuff. And it's one of my aims for this conference to get some time and rewrite it so it will work with versions greater than 3.20. Users of Debian Stable or something should be fine with trying out everything and compile the examples and so on. What we want to do is marking and moving multiple nodes. As you can imagine, it gets it would get a little bit stressy if you have many, many nodes and you have them in groups and whatever. So we want to drag a frame, then all the nodes get marked and you can drag and drop them at once. Then we want to introduce an own connector class, so we can make named connections and stuff like that. Performance has to be optimized. To set widgets as doc labels would also be nice, and for people who use right-to-left scripts like Hebrew or Arabic, it would be nice to have the whole graph reversed, so people don't have to adapt to Western standards. So the last thing is recursion. In some cases, we remember the screenshot of Conduit. It makes sense to actually interconnect two nodes directly with each other. And it's only dangerous if the input value influences the output value. So we should try to respect cases where this is not like that. So the last thing I want to talk about is marvelous outlooks. What should we actually use this for? Actually, I planned to do mockups, but I didn't, because if I told you how to do it, I would probably influence you, and maybe you come up with a much cooler way to do graphs in GNOME. Applications that I find interesting are, for example, PTV. This is the video editing project. Do post-processing for them with libgtk flow. Or matching audio sources to audio syncs in Pavu control or something like that. Talk to me. I'm there for 3 days. If you have any ideas, talk to me. There is much we can do with it. Basically, every time we have to let the user model a process, we can use flow graphs. Thanks for your attention. This is where you can find libgtk flow. Fork, use, push, star, do whatever. I'm looking forward to get in contact with you. So, are there any questions, or do we have time?
If there are questions, then it's break time, so it's probably best to do them at the break, because everyone's going to disappear anyway.
Okay.
Thank you very much for the talk.
Thank you very much for your attention.